5th of July. All right. Ryan and Aiden are already singing. We're going to have to catch up with them. And do not ask Kathy about puppy breath. Please do not ask her about puppy breath. Everybody's going to go back there to Ohana and smell her breath now. I hadn't never heard about it. Yeah, 67 years later, here I am learning about puppy breath. Never too old to learn. It's glorious. It gets me in the pit of my stomach, Kathy. It's what she said. I don't know. Must be a... Okay, enough of that. After the service, Adrian is going to stay back there holding Ohana. You'll go back there and get a sniff of her breath on your way out. All right. It's not proper to have fun in the Lord's house. I hear some others coming. So anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, good morning and welcome. And let's see. I don't know if we got anybody special today or not. Not that I'm seeing yet, so you all just aren't. Except unless, as you know, if you've got a colored bulletin insert.
We're all special.
No, not today. No, you're not. No, you're not. Nope, nope. D-Wayne. D-Wayne's extra special. Ryan's holding up his hand, too. All right. You're all one together back there. Anyone else? Is there another one? Huh? Okay, I guess those three are it. All right, well, let's see what we've got for upcoming. Actually, we begin with a past event. There it is, right there. Now look at Kathy. She's telling Hollis, smell that. It smells like puppy breath. That's what she's saying. No, she's not. But anyway, if you haven't seen that one that Adrian is holding there to the right, that she engraved is out there for you to see. It says something about Beth Ann. You have to go check it out. You can't read that there, but go check it out. Oh, it's up there. Yeah. Okay. One of the rocks Christ Church is built on. Can we get an amen for that? Yay. Beth Ann. Yay. Okay. And Hollis and Kathy got that work done. So we appreciate that very much. Thank you. Oh, it's impossible. You might as well stay here, Mike. We'll put you in the children's church room. Please. Okay. Yes. All right. And then Wednesday night, yes, we're beginning a new study in the book of James for Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Be there or be square. Okay. Thursday night, council meeting. I hope we're all still planning on that. There you go. Council meeting Thursday night. And then, next Sunday, we'll be having the Gideons with us. I'm not sure. I think Jeff Yetter is coming. So we always enjoy hearing the updates from the Gideons and what they're doing, what God is doing through them. So we look forward to that. And then, Sunday the 19th, 2 weeks from today, will be our monthly food and fellowship fair, Lord willing. Life Choices Pregnancy Center can use your help. They've been going through a difficult period of funds. And so if you have any inspiration in that, you know where to take it. Do you want to say anything more about that?
They're a wonderful group, wonderful organization, and our community needs to support them.
And we're still waiting for some of the baby bottles to come back as well, I think.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. And... front of your bulletin, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," from Psalm 33:12. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. Did you know that? The earth is full of His unfailing love, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. And so we celebrate that promise today as we begin in prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You again, and especially today, for the freedom we have to come into your house to worship you together. We're thankful for the blessings you've granted upon our nation, the privilege we have to be a part of that. And we celebrate it again today, and the basis for that freedom found in your Son, Jesus. And we're thankful, Lord, that as we open our hearts to you today, we can honor and glorify you above all for the freedoms that you've granted us. Pray your blessing in each heart and mind, and those who are not able to be with us today, mindful of that, thankful that we are one in your spirit. We praise you in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and greet someone you have. Are you getting it straight away there, Brooke?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's got so many.
She's got so many?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm proud of her.
Well, she's supposed to give some of them away.
Them.
Okay. All right, here comes Colton.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Colton. Hi. Hi. Okay. Guess that worked that time. All righty. So, freedom or foolishness? We have a choice to make this morning. Which would you choose?
Freedom.
Anybody want to choose foolishness?
I have it already.
I choose foolishness. Be careful. Shh. Shh. It's a secret. It's a secret. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to celebrate our freedom this morning and see the contrast between it and some types of foolishness. But there's a type of foolishness that is the basis for our freedom. So we're going to check that out this morning, beginning with Freedom's Foundation. Freedom's Foundation, right there it is. Okay, Psalm 33, we've read portions of this already this morning, but Alan, do it again, would you?
The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. People he has chosen for his inheritance. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those whose hope is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. We trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Yes. The foundation of our freedom, of course, is in a God who loves freedom, who loves righteousness, who loves justice, all those good things that are a part of the freedoms we enjoy in this nation. It's on based on his plans that stand firm for eternity. He desires to bless us individually and as a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so from the beginning of this nation, that was the reason it's been blessed so much. We are in a day, of course, where some of those freedoms and the blessings we wonder about sometimes. And we're going to delve into that a little bit more. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. We're going to address fear as well and see that there's a distinction of fears as well as a distinction of foolishness that is important for us to understand. The fear of the Lord, of course, the psalmist says, is hope and trust in him. And when we understand it correctly, then we understand there's a good kind of fear and there's a bad kind of fear. There's a good kind of foolishness and a bad kind of foolishness. And so we're going to discern those as well. But the Freedom's Foundation, we all understand and agree, are built upon God and his perspective, his desire to bless us with it. And that foundation, of course, we come to celebrate ultimately as freedom's fulfillment. Where does that come from? This was claimed by Jesus himself in Luke chapter 4.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Today, he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing concerning the freedoms that he came to bless all mankind with. Are those freedoms still being fulfilled in him today in our lives? Yes, they are. For those who open their hearts to him, who acknowledge him, who bless him, he will bless. And those freedoms are fulfilled for us today. And so we claim that through Jesus as well. Later, Jesus would add an if-then-so to this.
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
You catch the if, then, and so? If you hold to my teachings, then you will know. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Otherwise, you won't. If the Son does not set us free, we are not free at all. And so we are reminded of that fulfillment today. Paul would later add how this freedom is fulfilled in our lives as well in 2 Corinthians 3.
"Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image and with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit."
If we are transformed into his image, are we becoming freer or not? The more we are transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, we experience more freedom. And so that freedom is fulfilled in us, is being fulfilled more and more and more as we allow him to work in us and through us. Then, Paul would add his own then to Jesus' then in Galatians 5:1.
"It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love."
Stand firm then. So all that we've heard, what are we going to do about it? Paul says, stand firm. Just stand firm in the truth that you know, the freedom that comes through that. As you stand firm, you will experience this freedom. He puts a little caution in there, however, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, humbly serve one another. The freedom we have in Christ is for the purpose of serving each other. It's not a selfish freedom. It's not that we can just go crazy and indulge ourselves in things that bring us pleasure. The freedom we have will free us from ourselves to serve others. Then it's being fulfilled in us as well. In contrast to freedom's foundation and fulfillment, we sadly see what we might call false faith foolishness. False faith foolishness. Jesus said this would increasingly be the case as time goes on in Matthew chapter 24.
"At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved."
We talked about standing firm. We will be saved through that. As we look around us and sadly see that what Jesus said is being fulfilled as well. His freedom is fulfilled in us, but there are those who out of a false faith are so foolish they don't know any different. And we see it. I mean, I don't have to convince anybody. As we look around, we see that that's happening around us. It grieves us deeply. It grieves us. And we must be earnest in prayer. We must be people that God can use to check that as much as possible. But regardless, we have to understand, he said it's going to happen. The hearts of most will grow cold. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. It's the way it is, but we can do our part to at least bring a few more along with us. Paul expounds on this false faith foolishness in Romans 1.
For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became fertile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Furthermore, just as they did not think the worthwhile to return the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a deprived mind, so that they think that they ought not to be done. They have become filled with every decent and they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are all full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and understanding no fetal, and no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteousness decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Yeah. Sadly, again, we look around and we see so much evidence of this. People who tell God to go take a hike, God gives them over to that choice, and we see the consequences of it all around us. I want to say something specifically and directly to the protests, the riots and looting that's been going on. I believe that there are genuine and valid concerns in the Black Lives Matter movement. Along with that, there are some concerns that aren't so valid. And there are those who have way other concerns that will come along and take advantage and hijack some of the genuine things and just turn it into a disaster. And that is really the epitome of what I think Paul is talking about and the evidence we see today. And we have to be careful to be able to discern between that which is legitimate and something that God has a heart for as well, and not some of the other foolishness that comes along with it. And we can be people that help to bring some clarity and an understanding and wisdom to that in our own lives and the lives of those that it's affecting around us. Paul then expounds on this in his second letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4.
For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say that their itching ears won't to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the myths.
Yeah, and so we see this false faith foolishness being played out, and people who are easily led astray and who don't really want to hear the truth. They just want to hear what they already think is truth, and that's where it ends for them. But as a deterrent to this, this false faith foolishness, and also as a primary part of freedom's fulfillment, we are offered next freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Paul writes about this to the Romans in Romans 13.
Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right. But for those who do wrong, do you want to feel to be free from fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended, for the one in authority is God. God's servants for you, your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for the rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment to wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, also as a matter of consequence.
Sometimes we wonder about this when we look at different governments and those authorities that are in place that certainly don't seem godly. Paul was writing in a time when that was the case. The Roman Empire was certainly not godly, and yet he respected it, and even though he did things that they didn't like and he got thrown in prison and all of that for it, nonetheless, he knew that God works through the authorities. Pharaoh is another example, and the Israelites being enslaved for all those years in Egypt. Nonetheless, God works through those authorities. In our nation especially, even though we may have political differences, we certainly have much more voice, I guess, in what the authorities are able to do or not do, and God works through that. We must respect those. I think in this coronavirus, and even though we may not have had any fear about it for a period of time at least, everyone was doing our best to keep the distance and to honor and respect others out of consideration, respect the authorities, follow that guideline. And this is part of the principle that we operated under. And so if we have a fear of the authorities, there's a reason for that, because we're being foolish and disobedient to it. And so unless there's a clear God-given dictation to do something otherwise, we are to follow that authority and command and direction. Paul tells Titus and reminds his people about these truths in Titus chapter 3.
Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, but we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us graciously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. He reminds us of the loving kindness of God, who, even though in our foolishness and disobedience and willful, all that, He had mercy on us, and through the blood of Jesus, we are saved, as we sang about earlier. We must remember that as the basis for our freedom, what we experience and are blessed with when we look at others in their foolishness. Because we were that at one point. Sometimes we still are. From time to time, we slip back into that. We must remember that. That God is loving and gracious, not willing that any should perish in their foolishness as well as the foolishness we have displayed. Peter echoes Paul then in 1 Peter chapter 2.
Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you shall silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of the believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor.
So what are we to do as free people living in a world of foolishness? How do we counter that? What's the best thing? Should we like stand up and yell in their face and shake our Bible at them and tell them how evil they are? We're going to beat them with a stick, or we're going to pull a gun on them if they don't. It's not what God did for us through Jesus. He said, live as free people. How do we live as free people again? Love one another. Open our hearts to Jesus' love. Let him fill us. Let it spill out. That's the only thing that's going to change someone's foolishness to what we've been blessed with. And so we all get angry sometimes. We get stirred up. I do. And, you know, we talked about this Wednesday night. James and John, do you want us to call down fire from heaven, Lord? You know, we get that attitude that we're the agents of God's wrath and we can lay it on somebody else. Let's remember we're the agents of God's love and mercy that we have experienced through Jesus. Someone else's heart can be touched by that as well. Finally, then, we pull it together. We're reminded that there's a type of foolishness that is godly and which we might call freedom's foolishness. Freedom's foolishness. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 1.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
Did Paul really say the foolishness of God? Did he say God has some foolishness?
Creators.
Huh?
Creators.
Well, there you go. There's evidence right there. What was God thinking? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. And of course, that's what Paul is saying. And it really isn't foolishness in the way that we normally think of it. But from the world's perspective, God is foolish in that. We take it as the basis of our freedom. So I want to kind of claim that foolishness this morning for myself. If that's foolishness, Lord, you know, lay some more of that foolishness on me. Paul concludes his thoughts on this with a therefore in 1 Corinthians 1 also.
But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boast in the Lord.
Yeah. God has chosen those things of the world which seem like foolishness to people, the weak things, so that we would not boast in ourselves. We don't get this attitude that we can be all that holy, righteous, and wise, and brilliant, and all of that. He chose to go through something that appears foolish to us. And he uses us who are weak to glorify himself. And so Paul says, if you're going to boast in anything, boast in him. That's what I'm choosing to do today. My freedom, though it may be seem foolish to people, is what I'm going to boast in. And if somebody thinks that's foolish, so be it. I don't care. Honestly, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. That's foolishness to most people. Not to me, because I have experienced and learned that this is truth. This is really where it's at. And so I'm going to boast in the Lord. I'm going to boast in a cross that seemed foolish, the worst way for anyone to die. So the Statue of Liberty, there's one in New York Harbor. And that's wonderful, that's great. We sing about it. But there's also a statue on a hill in Calvary. It's that statue that's my, that cross, which is my Statue of Liberty. So I'm going to stand and boast in that as we respond to God's word. And I know you want to too, don't you?
Yes.
Stand up.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Stands the lady.
unashamed, unashamed, unashamed. I'll proclaim that the cross